God's wonderful people. Oh, just sing it out now. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening? You know, that song says, what a thrill that I feel, all the sight, to see all the happy faces. Well, let's see those happy faces. I realize we're about 12 hours away from Monday morning striking that 5 a.m. alarm clock and us having to get up and face the day again the whole week. But thank the Lord we have the opportunity to do that with somebody on our side. But now is God's time. Let's give this time to God. Let's not think about tomorrow. Let's not think about what happened yesterday. Let's think about what's going to happen within the next 2.5, 3 hours that we're here with the Lord. Let's just sing that chorus again. And as we sing it, just turn around and shake your neighbor's hand. Give them that smiling face. Make them feel comfortable to be here in the house of the Lord. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God. God's wonderful people. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Brother John, I look forward to the day whenever we'll always be able to see each other. We'll be able to see each other with a full head of hair. We'll know what that feeling's like, brother. I'm looking forward to that. Don't you just love Him? Isn't it wonderful to be able to get together and just let go and let God have His way? I just love Him. And the closer we get to the end, and the more this world gets in so much turmoil, the more I love Him even more. As that song says, I keep falling in love with Him over and over again. Let's sing that song. Thank you. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over, over and over again. Oh, when I first fell in love with Jesus, I gave Him all my heart. And I thought that I couldn't love Him more than I did right from the start. But now I look back over the mountains and valleys where I've been, and it makes me know that I love Him so much more than I did then.
and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between the Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Now think of this. There's a hand that I hold on to through each valley and each trial. And there's a shoulder that I lean upon as I face another mile. And there's a love I can depend on. It's fresh and new each day. And with love my heart is overflowing. That is why I say, oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between the Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. Oh, I keep falling in love with him. He's been so good to me over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between the Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Amen. Do you love him? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just loosen up now and enter on into the service. I just love this song. He set me free. Are you glad to be free? You know, as the brother was preaching this morning, I tell you, that just really cranked my tractor, as I like to say. That's one of my terms. You know, you had the old, back in the days, you had the tractor and the old cars, and you had to get out there and crank that handle. I tell you, he cranked my handle this morning. That was certainly wonderful to hear from the Lord, and I am so glad to be set free. Let's sing this. Once like a bird in prison, I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I fell. Goodbye to sin.
number three again.
Oh, goodbye to sin and things that confound. None of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to glory.
Are you glad to be set free? Oh my, it's so wonderful when you think about how easy it is to be set free. You know, I'm sure there's people here that's standing here that's got testimonies and things in their life that they're not proud of. And, you know, I worked with the Department of Correction for a while way back in my early years. And I've actually been on both sides of those bars. And let me tell you, it's not pleasant either way. But there's just something about it when those bars shut behind you. And you don't have the ability to get out. You think about being in bondage with Satan, though. You may think that you don't have the ability to get out, but you got the keys in the blood. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, how He loves us. Let's sing that before we take our prayer request. Oh, how He loves you and me. Gee, thank you.
Oh, how He loves you and me.
Think about it
now. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how
second verse now.
Jesus to Calvary did go.
Thank you, Lord.
His love for mankind to show. Love.
some prayer requests here as Brother Billy continue to play that softly. It says a request here, and this is from Sister Angie Pruitt. It says, please pray for Vicki Reap. She has been a best friend of mine for 25 years as a labor and delivery nurse at Iredell Hospital in Statesville. Vicki is at home waiting on a lung transplant from Duke Hospital. She has been diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis and has 70 to 100% blockage in four arteries to her heart. It will take a miracle for her to get the transplant in her condition. And that's from Sister Angie Pruitt. That sounds bad and that sounds grim, but we know that God still sits on the throne, and it don't make no difference how much blockage is in that heart. He can take care of that need. Amen. We want to hear some to continue to remember Sister Caitlin Florian in prayer that she needs a healing touch. Also like for you to remember Sister Sarah. She's at home still having some stomach issues, so just remember her in prayer. Also, we want to continue to remember Sister Mary Ann, and also continue to remember Sister Molly. It's a slow healing process. Brother Luther is still saying, I feel good. It's wonderful. Amen. I want to continue this. I'm sure this is probably from this morning, to remember Brother Smith in prayer. Also to continue to pray for Sister Crystal. She got called into work and needs a touch in her body. I'm sure there's many needs among us here, unspoken requests, financial, physical, spiritual. God knows each and every one of them. It's already there. We just need to take that. Let's remember to pray for each other. I'd like to ask Brother Larry if he would come at this time and take these requests before the Lord.
Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, you see the needs of Forrest, Lord. I've met Vicki Reap, Lord, and she's in a wheelchair, Lord, and she just needs a special touch from you. She's really a good person, Lord, and has helped the needy throughout the hospital down there. And I just ask you to give her a special touch. And touch each request that was given, each name that was mentioned, Lord, and brought before you. They're important, or they wouldn't be wrote down and given to us today, Lord. Each name that was called, Lord, we just ask you to work a miracle in their life. The ones that are sick, touch them, Lord. And we just thank you for the service we had this morning, God. It was such a revelation of the word, and just brought love to our heart, Lord. We just love that word, and God, love each person who's come out here tonight, Lord, and just ask to bless the minister tonight, Lord, and whatever's on his heart, just prepare and give it to us, Lord, and just let us receive it and act upon what we hear, Lord. And we just ask to watch over Brother Barry and Sister Becky as they travel, Lord, and give them great services over and souls for your work, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Got an announcement here. Says, remember there's a sign-up sheet in the library for our end-of-the-year dinner, which will be at Mark's Lutheran Church in Claremont on December 1st at 6:30. There's also a sign-up sheet for those of you who would like to make a dessert for this special occasion. There will be a $5 to $10 gift exchange. If you're unable to afford this, please let me know, and one will be provided. I need to get a head count to the caterer ASAP, so please sign up either today or by next Sunday. You can also text me if you forget to sign up, and that's Sister Faye. And I know we always look forward to that event at the end of the year. It's always such a wonderful time, so please sign up for that. I didn't have any song requests written or turned in. Someone did ask me to sing this song, so I'll go over here and attempt. Hopefully I won't get wore out, but this song is just, I've sung it a couple times from a long time ago, That Same Spirit. Just pray for me.
Jesus said, is it expedient for me to go away? But I'll send you another comforter to guide you. shall reign. Put soldiers there to guard him. You know they thought they'd done away with my Lord. But on the third day, the stone was rolled away, and he came forth from the grave. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus up will take me home someday. Oh, I can be Holy Spirit, oh, dwelling deep within. Oh, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus up from death and the grave, it shall reign. Somebody up and take me home someday. Oh, I can be His Holy Spirit again, deep within. Oh, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus so from death and the grave, it shall raise this old body up and take me home someday. It shall raise this old body up and take me home someday.
Let's all stand and we'll go on into the service. Have our ushers come at this time. We'll receive the evening tithe and offering. Also remember to pray for Brother Barry and Sister Becky as they'll be making their way back. I'm not sure exactly which day, but it's the first part of the week. So just keep them in prayer. Brother Tom, if you would. Amen. As Brother Craig gets ready to come, let's just sing that song. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. I sure enjoy Brother Craig's ministry. The first time I ever met him and got to hear him speak was at Winter Youth Retreat in 2010, and it was absolutely incredible. If you ever get the opportunity, you should go and look up his testimony. He's got a wonderful, powerful testimony of how the Lord just moved in a mighty revival. Through that community there, and starting with young people, and it's absolutely incredible, an incredible testimony. So as Brother Craig comes this evening, let's sing this song, In the Morning When I Rise. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, just give me Jesus. Let's sing number 4 now. Oh, when I come to die, oh,
Let's sing it one more time. Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
That way this evening. Amen. God is good to us. I appreciate the song service this evening and the presence of the Lord. You know, we can take it for granted, but this is heaven on earth. And the presence of the Lord. Years ago, I was preaching a revival meeting for Brother Ray Erickson, service. I don't know how it happened, but it happened all the time back then, but this party fellow, this ended up with me. I don't know how it happened. I didn't even know the man, but he ended up, I lugged him to church, or somehow he got fastened to me at church. I can't remember how it happened, but we preached, and the power of God just happened to fall in that service. And I was driving about an hour or so more from Bluffton, and we were driving. And the fellow said, "Listen," he said, "I've partied, I've drank, but I have never felt what I just felt in there." I said, "That's the power of the Holy Spirit." And so we're a blessed people. He inhabits the praises of His people. And so, you know, Brother Branham said one day this will be fond memories. And I believe that. God's word will come to pass. And so we want to redeem the time and take advantage of every moment that we have. And you ever, you know, been ever so down and you just turn open the Bible, you start reading, and there's something that just lifts you up. There's something supernatural about this word, and we just thank God for it. It's encouraging. So let's just turn our attention to the scriptures, if we can, to Romans chapter 8, very familiar scripture to us, and then we'll go to Philemon verse 1. Romans chapter 8, I surely appreciate the invitation, being here once again. We appreciate your pastor. I've known him for many years. I appreciate him, his stand for this word, this message. Romans chapter 8, and let's read 13 through 16. I'm going to be picking up where we left off this morning. "And if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Let's turn to Philemon. We'll read verse 1. Do you love the Lord? God is good. So Philemon is just before Hebrews. We'll read verse 1 there. This also is a very familiar verse. "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." I want to preach tonight on the Spirit, the led by the Spirit of God, part 2. And I'll just subtitle it, Prisoners of His Spirit. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this gathering. We realize, Lord, what a privileged people we are to be called by Your name. What a privileged people we are, Lord, to just see the things that we see. God, help us never to take it for granted. Help us, Lord, with all of our hearts to embrace it, to live it, and, Lord, to give it to others. Father, I pray that You bless this message tonight. Lord, it's an evening service, and no doubt, Lord, just human nature, people will be weary, but I pray that You just give us strength, energize us by the Spirit. Direct our thoughts and everything that is done for Your glory. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You can have your seats. Thank you. I want to continue with my thought this morning that the true church has always been a free church and a Spirit-led church. That's what would make us different than any other church on the earth. Brother Branham said that Israel, without God, was just like any other nation. And then he said Samson was as weak as any other man without God. And he said, without God, we're just like any other lodge. What makes us different is Him. And what a privileged people we are to have Him. Can you say amen? I just wanted to look at this for a minute because, you know, Paul, which is one of the greatest apostles, one of the greatest characters in the entire Bible, I admire him. He's one of my favorites. He addresses himself in different ways. In one way, he says, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ. And we could preach a long time on that, just the servant of Jesus Christ. Another place, he says, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In other words, I wasn't, you know, chosen by man. God had done the choosing. It wasn't Paul's will. It wasn't some seminary's will. It was God's will to choose Paul. And Paul was just God's choosing. God made him what he was. And we'll be getting to that in a little bit. But what we just read was Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, as he's introducing himself there in Philemon. He also refers, if you just want to write it down, in Ephesians 3:1, he refers to himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:1, he calls himself a prisoner. Brother Branham preaches a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and he begins to extract from this little verse. And he said, Paul, he wrote this letter to Philemon while he was sitting in jail. And he said he was surrounded by bars. And he said Paul knew what it was to be a prisoner. And you can imagine the conditions of prison then was probably much worse than prisons are today, as if there would be lice and vermin and leprosy and all kinds of filth. And Paul knew what it was to be a prisoner. I've heard about Rome, the little hole that he was in while he was pushing that pen. How many believe that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord? You know, Paul was busy evangelizing the world, going here and going there, and very, very busy. But God had to slow him down. So in order to slow him down, he sent him into prison so he could push his pen and write us the Bible that gives us so much consolation and comfort. Aren't you glad that he was a prisoner? He was a prisoner for our benefit. And so Brother Branham said he was sitting there in that prison, and he said you could look around. It was dark. He always had problems with his eyes. And he said you can imagine how he felt so alone there, and it was cold and damp and filthy. He said, but I don't believe, Brother Branham speaking, I don't believe. He said that the apostle was referring to his present condition sitting in prison. He said, but I believe he was referring to his spiritual condition, that Paul was a prisoner by his spirit, by his will, everything that he was a prisoner to the Word of God. He was a prisoner to the Spirit of God. He was a prisoner to Christ. Can you say amen? Brother Branham said, I believe that the Holy Spirit pushed his pen when he wrote those words, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said he could look around and see the condition, but it was expressing something much deeper than just sitting in a cell. And he said Paul had become a prisoner of Jesus Christ when he gave his heart to him. And Paul is an outstanding character. We know little pieces of his life. But Brother Branham said from the time he was around 12 to 15 up till he was in his mid-30s, he said Paul had a great ambition to be a priest. And he had a little more zeal than maybe other young people his age. Paul was zealous. He studied the law, and he no doubt caught the attention of everyone that was around him. You know how it is when someone has a gift, when they have a certain personality, about him, it just is attractive to people, and they can see it. And some people walk in a room and their eyes just, I mean, everyone is centered around that particular person. You know, and Paul was recognized as the upcoming, you know, the young fire, the zealous leader. And, you know, he had found favor with many. Then Brother Branham said, this is amazing to me, that his father and his mother, they had spent their money on Paul. He had spent all that money pouring his time. And, you know, they had great hopes for Paul. You know, they cherished the law. They cherished the books of Moses and the history of Israel. They were a proud people. If you think about, out of all the world, Israel was God's chosen people, God's chosen nation. God proved to be with them down through the ages. And they could trace their genealogies all the way back to Abraham, some of them. And what a proud thing that was, that they could actually find where they were linked to the great men of God. And history says these men were brilliant. They knew the law inside and out and were blameless and had many of the scriptures retained in there. They could quote scripture, and there was a great pride that comes with it. And you can imagine how Paul and his mother, how they felt, Paul's mother and father, how they felt about this young upcoming man who had a lot going for him, had a bright future ahead of him. But you know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways. We can get hopes that is totally contrary to the will of God. And, you know, our thoughts of success is not God's thoughts of success. And God's will is not our will. And when Paul met God, all of those ambitions, all of those things fell to the ground. God was not interested in none of what he spent his life doing. Paul said, I counted as dung. That's strong words. He said, I counted as dung that I might serve the Lord. On his road to Damascus, everything changed at one moment. And Paul wasn't looking for God. God was looking for Paul. You know, God can turn us on our heels in any time. He can meet you right where you are and turn your life upside down. I thank God for that. We weren't looking for God. God came looking for us. God sent this message to us, and we're happy for that. You know, Paul was actually become an enemy of Christ. All of his education and all of his ambition actually turned him into an enemy of the Word. Ain't that amazing? So Paul, Brother Branham said, was on his high horse with orders to shut the Christian church down. He made havoc of the church, and the people, no doubt, feared Paul. Paul, on his road to Damascus, was going to shut this group up when he met the pillar of fire. And Brother Branham said, if you watch God's order, he took Paul off his high horse, and he said he stuck his nose in the dust. I'm paraphrasing, and you stay there. This is a remarkable statement. When you get above the dust, you get above God. Perfect strength by perfect weakness. When you get above the dust, you get above God. So God took Paul off his high horse, stuck his nose in the dirt. He was blinded by a pillar of fire. Brother Branham said, right there, God began to strip Paul. Now, Paul was a prince of preachers. And everyone had high hopes of this boy. And now he's wallowing around in the dirt, just like the people he's going to shut down. Something about the supernatural that just takes control of us. I imagine Paul, as he's grabbing his eyes and wallowing around the ground, and the other men are bewildered, and something is happening and they can't catch it. But Paul's catching it. God don't care about what those other men are thinking. God has something for Paul and Paul alone. Think of this prince of preachers. Think of this man's ambitions. What God has for Paul is so different than Paul's mommy and daddy. And God don't care about Paul's father's ambition. God don't care about his mother, about the disappointments that they're going to experience. All of the priests and all of his
circles and in religious circles, he is going to be the biggest disappointment to the synagogue. But God does not care. God does not care about his close circles, his family members, his misunderstanding. God has something for Paul. He's going to be misunderstood. He's going to be rejected. But he's going to be a prisoner to the will of God. And that's the way God wants him. Hallelujah! Do you love the Lord? Paul's eyes are giving him trouble. He goes down to Arabia and he begins to search the Scriptures and compare his experience to the Scriptures. And Paul's eyes are giving him trouble. He sought the Lord three times and said, "Lord, please, if you could give me good eyesight, I could do a lot for you. I could study better and I wouldn't have so many problems." And God said, "No, Paul, my grace is sufficient. I want you stripped down to nothing, because in your nothingness, I can make you something." Brother Branham said he takes nobodies to make his somebodies. He said the problem is not that we're not strong enough. The problem is we're too strong, and God has to strip us to put us in a position that God can use us. God needed a slave. God needed a slave that would not follow his own will. God needed a slave that would obey the move of the Spirit regardless of what anyone thought, no matter what the consequence, if it was shady pastors, whatever it was. God needed a prisoner. And I want you to think of this now. 4,000 years of Jewish history. And God said, "Paul, I'm going to show you great things that you're going to suffer for my name's sake. You will be a light unto the Gentiles." This hasn't been done before. So you can imagine Paul, spiritually speaking, shackled by chains of love, obeying the will of God as the Spirit of God leads him. How many would say, "Lord, I want to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ"? He would never be able to use him until he was completely stripped. And Brother Branham said, the problem as long as we have ourselves there, God cannot get in. We smother him out. We drive him out from the poor of us to the richest of us, from the least to the great. We keep God out of our lives because of our own selves. He said, "I've often said the greatest enemy I've got is William Branham. He's the one that gets in God's way. He's the one that gets lazy. He's the one that gets to a place where he thinks he can do something about it. And when he does, he shoves God right out of the picture. When I can get rid of that guy, I can get to a place where he's out of the way. Then God can come over and do things William Branham knows nothing about." That's when God can use you. He can use any of you. He can use you, but you must get out of the way. Do you love the Lord? See, Paul became harnessed to the Holy Spirit. Remember, I was talking about the harness this morning. He went in, his heart was latched in with Christ. And now Christ is going, they're going to pull the gospel, him and Jesus. He's going to pull the gospel into the presence of the Gentiles. How remarkable. Now, you know, that's the thing. It'd be one thing to be a prisoner and isolated by yourself. But this is a prisoner, not only a prisoner for Christ, but a prisoner with Christ. You're yoked with him, and he's walking with you. Do you love the Lord? Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." And when he sends you, he goes with you. He said, "There's the one that'll walk with you." That's him. That's the one that'll trod the valley with you. He'll go up the mountains with you. He'll go down through the trials. He'll stand in the fire with you. If he sends you, God is faithful. And so Brother Branham said this. Is this all right tonight? He said, now, Paul could not go where he wanted to go. If you get a chance to go listen to a prisoner, it'll bless your heart. It's one of the most amazing messages to me. He said, notice, he wanted to go. He had an ambition. Drawled him amongst the brethren. They invited him to come. But he was pressed in a spirit to do something else. See, Paul was not his own. Paul wasn't just making good decisions to build his reputation and build his ministry. But Paul was completely reliant upon the move of the Spirit, where he should turn and where he should go. Brother Branham said, we should never be, well, you know, if it happens that way, it happens that way. He said, we should always be seeking the will of God. Do you love the Lord? And he said, then maybe somebody would say, Brother Paul, come over here. We got a big church. We got a good offering for you. He said, but being pressed in the Spirit, he said, I got a brother over there. And he said, let's go save this brother. But yet in the Spirit, it told him to do something else. See, he said, Paul was a prisoner. Then he said this, oh God, make us prisoners like that. From our own selfish ambition, from our own judgments and our own better way of thinking. See, you know, Paul would not have went into some of those situations had not God led him directly there. And the reason that we're here today is because the work, the foundation that was built by Paul. God can do great things if we can become prisoners to His Spirit. Because we'll do things contrary to our own way of thinking, but yet it can turn the whole course of the earth. I know that's hard to grasp, but it's true. You love the Lord. I love this. In the church ages, Brother Branham said, Paul was unorganized but Spirit-led. And when God moved upon Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, as God led Moses out of Egypt, Jerusalem's council never sent Paul, nor did it have any power or jurisdiction over him. It was God and God alone sending him and leading him. Paul was not of men. Paul was of God. That's what I was saying, that God always chooses men out of organization. And God is the head of this church, and God chooses who He will. God uses who He will. Do you believe that? And so God, the Holy Spirit, said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for a work that I have called for them. They didn't know what they were getting into, but they were prisoners. And they just followed wholeheartedly with the Lord. And Brother Branham said, that's the trouble with the church today. We rely too much upon our senses and our ability instead of taking it to the Lord in prayer. You love the Lord. And Brother Branham said, notice he separated Paul and Barnabas. They were praying and the Holy Spirit said, separate them. He said, there's always a separation. There's a time that the disciples had to separate themselves from their own people. Paul had to separate himself from the Jews in order to bring a message to the Gentiles. Do you remember in Macedonia, where Paul was going a certain way and he sees a vision and they're calling him and he just turns, right just in midstream, he turns and he goes to Macedonia. He was forbidden to go to Asia, I believe it was. The Holy Spirit wouldn't suffer him. One place the Holy Spirit, if you just watch Paul's life, I mean, he would go right into hornet's nest. We're like, wow, this is amazing. You know, Paul, nobody wants to be beat, whipped, shipwrecked, rejected. But Paul came to the place he was totally lost to himself and completely a prisoner, where he trusted the Lord. And one place, everywhere, you know, as his manner was, he would go into the synagogues and debates would start and Paul would be pressed in the Spirit. One place the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, said, be not afraid. Speak and don't hold your peace. I have much people in this city. So Paul would say, okay. He would come and preach the gospel and the power of God would begin to work behind him. Don't that just touch your heart? How many examples of the Bible that we could go to? I think it was Agabus that bound him and said, don't you know you'll be bound in Jerusalem? He said, why do you break my heart? I'm not willing just to be bound, but willing to die for my Lord. And when they couldn't turn him, they gave up. And Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, oh, tonight, If we as a Branham Tabernacle could become prisoners of our own selfish being and our ambition and could completely surrender ourselves and be yoked with Him, no matter what the rest of the world thinks, no matter what the rest of the world does, prisoners, our feet so yoked that it won't go to a dance, our eyes so yoked to Christ that it don't look at these modern strip teases. Our hearts so yoked to Him, you have no love for the world. So yoked to Him, you don't even have an ambition only to do the will of the Father. Unless God can get you a prisoner. He said, you can't look at what you think or what someone else thinks, you're a prisoner. He said, oh, if the church could only be so in the glorious presence of God, someday God will turn His power into it. Wow. How many want to see the power of God working in their life? In order to do it, we must die to our thoughts, die to our ambitions. Paul had to be willing to bring disappointment to others. Paul had to be willing to follow God no matter what the consequence. Amen. Another place, Brother Branham said, God, Paul was correctly a prisoner. He was trained by the Holy Ghost to wait on the Word. He said, notice God trained him another way. He had been trained one way. God trained him another. He said, there was a demon-possessed woman that was following him. These be the men of God that bring light to us. And God didn't need her help. It was a devil in that girl. Now, Paul was an apostle with a commission to cast out devils and had the authority to do it. But he said, Paul waited. One day, 2 day, 3 day. Finally, the Spirit said, now, Paul. Paul turned and cast the devil out. He said he learned to wait on God. He said, then this is remarkable to me. That's where so many people bring a reproach upon the Word. We go out with an ambition. How many revivals have been left flat? Because the evangelists don't wait to see what the Lord has got to say. They're controlled by associations. And he said, but you can only speak when God speaks. And this is why I'm preaching on this. We are not a denomination. We are not an organization. Our headquarters is from above. Every one of us can have the power of the Holy Spirit move upon our lives and direct us in our lives where we should be, how we can help the cause move the church forward. Ain't that right? And then an example Brother Branham used, he said maybe Paul's friend would say, Paul, I've got a man here that's sick and I believe you're a man of God and I want you to come pray for him. He said now Paul had to be led of God. And he said, now if he didn't go, that man would become an enemy to him. Because he said, you've prayed for this other one and they got healed. Why wouldn't you come and pray for me? He said, but you realize we can't buckle to those kind of pressures. We are prisoners to Christ and Christ alone. We are led by Christ and Christ alone. Do you love the Lord? And so Paul was the kind of man that would say, listen, we've got to have confidence in the Holy Spirit. How many believe that we are led? We've got to have confidence when a person is led by the Spirit. Pray for that person. We've got to have confidence that our pastor is led by the Spirit. Confidence in one another that we are led by the Spirit of God. Now I want you to think of church circles. Family and friends and strong opinions. Sometimes they can try to pressure you to do certain things, but you must hear from God. Every one of us have been there. I want to tell a testimony. You know it very well, but just to help build my thought here this evening. Brother Branham, in 1936, he was going up to a fishing trip up in Michigan. He was coming back through Mishawaka, and he was seeing Jesus-only signs. Jesus only, Jesus only. And he had heard about them. They were the holy rollers, as they called them, of that day. And he saw all the cars advertising it. And it piqued his interest. So he thought, well, I'll just stop and see what it's about. And I believe that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered. He might not have realized it, but God was leading him. And so he said he came in, he was toward the back of the church, and he said he stayed back so he could get out if he had to. And he was watching them, such singing, such enthusiasm. And he said, like he never saw him, he said, where's their church manners? And he was a Baptist, so they weren't taught that way. He said, but the more he sat there, the more he liked it. He started to become a part of things. And he was just amazed by the whole thing. And so the people had called him up. They said, we want all the preachers to come to the platform. We don't have time for everybody to say a word. I just want you to come up, introduce yourself, and walk off the platform. There was about 200 ministers. And so they start running them through, one Pentecostal after the other. One Pentecostal after the other. Pretty soon, Brother Branham came up. William Branham, Jeffersonville, Indiana, Baptist. And he walked off. And here come the rest of them. I just love the way God works in simplicity. That night, Brother Branham has seersucker trousers. He's not ready to really be in a meeting. And he's laying out in a cornfield. He got some stale rolls and some water. And he's laying out there in the field praying, Lord, who are these people? Then he makes this prayer. He said, Lord, help me find favor with these people. He prayed it. Help me find favor with these people. Next day, he sits down. You know the story very well. A black brother sits beside him. And they're singing and all. And pretty soon the preacher said, anybody know the whereabouts of William Branham? We want him to come up and preach this morning's message. He said, oh, no. He just prayed, God, give me favor with him. See, but God's ways are not our ways. And so he just sinks in his seat. Anybody know the whereabouts of William Branham? And it's so funny how God can pin you in a corner right next to him. The black fellow said, you know who he is? He said, come down here. I'm him. He said, go on up there. He said, I can't. I've got these seersucker trousers. I can't go up there. Them people don't care how you dress. Go on up there. He said, now, keep quiet. Anybody know the whereabouts of William Branham? He goes, here he is. Exposed. I love the way God can put us in a corner. And he said he was trembling. He said he was carrying his Bible. And he didn't know what to do. He said, first time he ever seen a microphone coming down from the ceiling. And he said he was fumbling through the pages as scared as can be. And he said, I just looked down and found a text. Then he cried. You know the story very well. And he starts preaching. And there were no flowers in hell. And then he cried. And there was no Sunday school in hell. And then he cried. There were no songs there. And then he cried. And he began to take this thought and build it. And pretty soon the power of God fell upon the place. And the people went into a frenzy and stood to their feet. And he said he got so carried away, he come to himself outside. And he said there was a line of ministers with cowboy boots and cowboy hats. I want you to hold a revival for me. And I want you. And he said, one after the other. And he said, let me take your name down. And he's writing them down. He said he had a list that would last him an entire year. I love God's gifts and callings. He don't need an education. He don't need a self-promoter. All you need is the Holy Spirit, and He'll lead you and guide you where you're supposed to be. Next thing you know, it fell right in his lap. And you know, this is amazing. Did you know? This is 1936, 10 years before the visitation of the angel. Do you know that God was opening evangelism to him right there? That was his open door to evangelism. He came home so excited, and Hope was standing by his side. He said, honey, you won't believe who I found. And I've got a list. I'm going to quit my job and go to the field. And she was rejoicing about it. She said, let's tell Mom. And when he saw her mom, he said, we found the most wonderful people. She said, pipe down, Bill. And she said, you are not taking my daughter amongst a bunch of trash like that. She said, they're just a bunch of trash that comes out of the other churches. My daughter will starve out there. You are not going to bring her out there. You go back to your church until they can afford a parsonage. Hope starts crying. Brother Branham, just, you know, you want to create peace? He said, well, let's just leave it alone. Let's just hold off. And he said that was when sorrow set in. From there, the first thing he said, his church attendance began to drop off. His brother was killed, having his neck broke in the street. He was riding in a car with his arm out. His neck was broke. Blood poured out. Brother Branham got there too late. Sister-in-law died a few days after that. His father died in his arm, poisoned by the doctor, strychnine. He said everything was going wrong. He postponed his ministry. And that was his opportunity. Brother Branham said, always mind God, no matter what it is. If God has something for you to do, you do it. He said, and I know that I'll answer for thousands that I missed in those 10 years. Ain't that amazing? See, for 3 years, the supernatural was working from 33 to 36. Just amazing miracles was happening in that time, even before the angels commissioned. That was the open door. But after that, for 5 years, the gift didn't work. Brother Branham talks about it in various places. I don't want to take too much time on it. But we must put God first. No matter what anybody says, mother-in-law, no matter what any kind of pressure, you are responsible before God to be led by God. And if it causes misunderstanding, then it causes misunderstanding. It's got to be with the Word. It's got to be the light of the hour. And God will lead and direct. How many say, Lord, help me be strong. When I know it's the leading of God, not to compromise anything. And then, you know, it's amazing because it would have turned the whole course of history. That decision, the pressure of a mother-in-law, literally turned the whole course of history. See, we're not so predestinated that we don't have a choice. We have a choice. And we got to make sure that we're led of God, and then we know that it'll all be okay. The Bible says that we must forsake all to follow Him. Forsake our thoughts. Forsake anything contrary to the Word of God. We must forsake everything. And God is looking for someone with courage that will stand by God. He said, search the Scriptures. Search the history. Martin Luther, John Wesley, Calvin, Knox, Finney, Sankey. He said, whoever it is, he said, they come out of those things. They stood alone for their convictions. Sometimes, even in your own family, you'll have to stand alone. Sometimes your mom and papa will disagree. Sometimes auntie, uncle, lodge members will disagree. If it's God's Word, you're standing. Stay with God. Stand on that Word. Any man that ever amounted to a hill of beans stood on God's testimony. How many said, Lord, help me to be a prisoner. Help me be a prisoner to the Word. Abraham had to separate himself. Paul had to separate himself. Sometimes we have got to separate ourselves. 1952, the Spirit of the Lord came to Brother Branham and said, there's a trap set for you. That's all it said. There's a trap set for you. Brother Branham was fixing to go to Africa. And he thought that the trap would be something to do with witch doctors or voodoo or some sort of demon power. And when he got there, they started putting meetings together and there was a council of men. And they had an itinerary set up for Brother Branham. Baxter was his campaign manager at that time. And he came up and said, Brother Branham, they got an itinerary for you. You're going to go here. You're going to go here. Thousands are going to be there. It's going to be wonderful. Brother Branham said, that's just fine. Well, when are we going to Durban? He thought Durban was in Rhodesia. Brother Branham really wasn't, you know, seeing the whole picture. And he said, oh, it's all set up. Brother Branham said, fine enough. And so that night, I believe it was, the angel appeared to Brother Branham and said, you will not go with that itinerary. He said, you'll stay here, I believe it was, for 2 weeks. I think that was in Johannesburg. You'll go with Sidney Jackson for such and such a time to go hunting. He said, then you will go to Durban and stay a month. And so Brother Branham comes out of the vision and said, well, you know, that'll be just, you know, fine. He'll just follow the way of the Lord. And the angel said, to confirm that this is the Spirit of the Lord, I'm going to give you signs. And so when Brother Branham came to the committee and said, the itinerary's wrong, the Lord has led me another way, they said, we, no. No. They have advertisements. They have worked on this. They've made phone calls. They have put energy into this, resources into this. You're going to have to go with the itinerary because men will be let down and disappointed. God don't care about the disappointment. And I'm amazed at this. And Brother Branham said, no, God has led me another way. They said, no, God has led us this way. And so Brother Branham said, that you might know that I am led of God, you will see thus, 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 and thus. And it happened perfectly. And they said, we're sticking with the itinerary. See, how brazen can men be? But you know, it was a trap because he came up to Baxter and said, Brother Baxter, I cannot go. You know the gift. He said, I think you're wrong on this. Brother Bosworth looked at Brother Branham and said, you're wrong on this one. He said, Bosworth, you have seen God with this gift. How could you say such a thing? He said, I think you're wrong. Brother Branham was caught in the jaws of this political system. This is why, Brother Branham said, I always stay small. I will not let a man control me. I've got to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. See, it was the will of man versus the will of God. It's just like the Bible story of the two prophets. He said, I want you to go up and resist such and such a king. And he did. He said, now, go back home. Don't salute no one. Don't go into anyone's house. He's on his march and some men stop him and say, our father wants you to come home. And he said, no, I can't. God told me not to. But he said, God told Dad that you're supposed to. I think it was. And so he went there and the man ended up dying. Brother Branham said, you have got to be led by God and know the voice of God yourself. And that's what was happening. They were trying to push off their convictions and they were wrong. When God tells you something, you must obey it. God is not interested in popularity. Jesus made himself no reputation. His ways are so different. He wasn't about making Brother Branham a superstar. Jesus wasn't a superstar. It was about obeying God. That's why God called Philip from a meeting of thousands, supernatural. He said, Philip, I want you to go down here. I've got one man in the deserts. That man could have had a big nose, big ears, or hard to look on. I mean, we don't know what he looked like, but he could have looked insignificant. But he was on God's Lamb Book of Life. And the Spirit of God led Philip to him and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I accept God? Some men lead me. And he started at the same place and preached unto him Jesus. He baptized him. He was translated. And you know what happened? Brother Branham said, that Ethiopian packed the gospel into Africa. God knew whatever that his job was, that it was important enough to leave that meeting. See, we got to have confidence in the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? As many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So these men stood by their unbending itinerary, unreasonable completely. Satan sprung his trap. So the angel appears to Brother Branham after Brother Branham is just tired of fighting. And I have combed it. I've read it. That was a trap. I mean, I could not imagine being in his shoes. That was not even with the gift, they were unmovable. And I said, dear God, have mercy. It was a tight place. So the angel appeared and said, you go with them, but you're going to suffer for it. I'm amazed at this because the meetings continue and miracles abound. Absolutely abound. Miracles too numerous to record. The lame walked, the deaf heard, cancers withered away, demons fled, Weak hearts were made strong, and there was testimony after testimony. And then when he arrives to Durban, he sees there about 20,000 people, natives, Indians, Europeans, different colors, all separated by fences. And it was the only place that they could have that kind of meeting where all colors, all races could come together in one meeting. It was the divine wisdom of Almighty God is why God wanted him to spend a month in Durban. Let me say this. Missing that vision turned the course of history. What if he would have withstood them and went there for a month? What in the world would have happened? In a few minutes, 30,000 natives were saved. The power, Brother Branham said, 10 times greater than Pentecost. 30,000. What would have happened if he would have been in the perfect will of God? Wow. What a lesson. And you know what I love about the prophet of God? He wasn't so proud that he couldn't tell us these mistakes so we could learn. The wisdom of God. Brother Branham had amoebas. He got amoebas and nearly died. Of course, God, he learned his lesson, went off the field. It was pretty bad. So directly after that experience, Brother Branham is in Battle Creek, Michigan. Thousands were gathered together there. Thousands. They were packed in the place. Brother Branham was out praying by the lake. And the Spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, told him, close the meeting. There were 8 more days to go. Close the meeting and go to Minneapolis at once. This is right after Africa. So Brother Branham calls in Baxter and said, the angel of the Lord told me to close the meeting right now. He said, Brother Branham, we've got 8 more days. Brother Branham said, I'm closing it. He said, I ain't telling them. You're going to have to tell them. Brother Branham said, go bring them here. He brought the ministers and he said, the Lord has just told me to leave this meeting and go to Minneapolis right away. And they were upset. They said, God led us to have this meeting for 8 more days. Brother Branham said, you do what God leads you to do. God led me somewhere else. Brother Branham said he picked up the phone, and I'll read it to you. It's incredible. He said, I picked up the phone. Baxter said, let's go at the end of the week. He said, we're going to go now. When I took hold of the phone, if it had been 5 minutes later, 2 minutes later, there would have been something happened in Minneapolis that would have changed the history of the Pentecostal church. Wow. I know we look at ourselves as insignificant. But with Paul a prisoner, God could turn the world upside down. Brother Branham said, really, he wasn't turning it upside down. It was already there. He was actually turning it right side up again. That's what he's doing. God's taking us off our heads and putting us right side up. Do you love the Lord? Another place, Brother Branham gives a testimony of these men. They were friends of his that wanted to have a meeting in Kentucky. And they said, we're going to have a meeting. We rented an armory. Brother Branham, will you go? And Brother Branham said, yes, because they were friends. But he felt a prick in his heart. He felt checked by the Holy Spirit not to do it. He said, well, we're friends, you know, and we'll just go anyway. And he said, when he made the commitment, all of a sudden, Brother Branham's throat closed up for 9 days with a high, high fever. Just shut down. There was going to be no preaching at all. And burning with fever for 9 days, and the meetings passed. And Brother Branham was really in just a low because he'd been laying there in bed, and a man with that kind of go and in fever, and he didn't understand why his throat was closed up, and media was coming in and cleaning around him and getting him things. And he was feeling kind of down. And he told Mita, he said, sometimes I wonder if I'm even called. She looked at him as quiet as Mita was and said, ain't you ashamed of yourself? She told me, Bill, you don't know what God knows, what he's doing with you. Just keep quiet. He said, well, I felt kind of stepped on. That's good. God just knows how to iron us out, you know. And he said, so he's sitting there, and he said, all of a sudden, he saw a vision break forth. And he said, the sun was shining down, and I think one of the beams struck the armory and blew it to pieces. And he said, a man and 3 women came, and said, Brother Branham, we'll build it back. And they had the little nail guns, and they were going to start trying to build it back. And something said, don't do it. And so Brother Branham comes out of the vision, and a voice said, they're on the road now. They're sincere, and they have thus saith the Lord, but they're wrong. Fred Softman was there, and he told them about the vision. Within less than an hour, they drove up. And they came and told Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, there's three women and a man, right? He said, that's right. He said, they have thus saith the Lord, right? That's right. He said, you go tell them they're fine people, but they're wrong. And so they left, and Brother Branham was sitting there. And he said he was looking at the wall, and all of a sudden the wall opened, and Jesus come out. I'm sorry. He saw a Bible, and light was illuminating from the Bible, and out of the Bible came a cross. And out of the cross came Christ. He said he'd only seen him a couple times in his life. And he said Jesus appeared and said, you're waiting on your commission, and it's already been given you. And he said he was watching this vision unfold. He said, it's already been confirmed. You just got to accept it. This is the part that I'm getting to. And there he stood talking with me. He said, but you walk with too many. And to walk with me, you must walk alone. Now, Brother Branham is coming into his third pole, the word ministry. And he was popular under the first pole, popular under the second pole. But God is not interested in popularity and reputation. God is interested in the elect and the names that are on his book. And he said, in order to come into this ministry, you're walking with too many. And it's just like this, the vision of him fishing, trying to catch the rainbow trout. And those preachers got him in trouble. He said, you've got to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit and follow the voice of the Spirit. He said, instantaneously, he was healed, immediately healed at that moment. And I want to say this, that we that walk with God, the bride of Christ, will walk alone. And it's always been that way, all through the Bible. I just love studying the nature of the Bible, and you'll find the nature of God. That's what I see in this message. All I see is the God of the Bible is the God of this message. The nature is the same. I marvel. I love it. And I think of Mary, a 15-year-old girl married a 45-year-old man. Brother Branham said that. And he said she was standing in line at the temple, and all these women with their fine needlework holding their beautiful babies and proud Israelites. And here she sitting there, she was just a poor girl. Just a dirt poor girl. And her baby is wrapped in swaddling from the neck of an ox. He was the red heifer. She's bouncing that little baby. And everyone, Brother Branham said, is just keeping their distance as they're inching forward. And as she's looking at him, she don't care. She's got to stand alone. But she knows who's in her arms. Amen. It don't matter if we stand alone. We know that this message is sent from God. We know who this is and what this is. And it's a privilege to bear the reproach of it. It is an honor to bear the reproach of the Lord. Do you love the Lord? So Brother Branham, he could not do as the other men did. He could not build a great big faith city. He could not get so big that he would be controlled by man. So he stayed small, but yet his spirit was inclusive. He didn't separate himself, but he was always inclusive and always including everybody. And this is why I was saying this morning that God deals with individuals. You know, God could call you to be an Ethiopian, to take a message into a place. God could call you to do one thing, and that one thing would be necessary for this end time prophecy to be fulfilled. I believe it with all that's in me. Do you love the Lord? Brother Branham said many times, I had to leave. He said 10,000 just to speak to one. Then he said, using not your own mind, just letting his mind. We're prisoners. Paul was a prisoner. Moses was a prisoner. No matter what anyone says, you're a prisoner to that word. The Holy Spirit leads. It forbids to go to places. It forbids to come here. It sends you to places. It keeps you away from places. I want you to think, it becomes common to us. At the end of Brother Branham's ministry, he's sitting on a mountain and a blizzard comes rolling in. And he said there could be 20 foot of snow. It's death to be caught in it. He's going down the hill and a voice speaks to him and said, turn and go back. This don't make sense. Who in their right mind will walk right into death? But he was trained to know the voice of God, to know that it never fails, and to trust the voice. That voice was the same voice that Abraham trusted when he said, sacrifice your son. All the way through the Bible, he had learned to trust that voice. And you know what? We have got to trust the same voice. Even if it's contrary to our thoughts and even common sense, we must have the mind of Christ. See, that's what he said. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. You let that mind be in you. It ain't about big ministries and so on and so forth. It ain't about those things. It's about being led by the Spirit of God. God is good. The headquarters is the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham said this. I know you might be a little tired tonight. So just bear with me. I'll try not to hold you long. Paul waited for the Spirit to tell him what to do. And he said Moses could only move as God moved him. How ridiculous that God would wait for Moses to be an old man and wait for him. It looks totally hopeless. Hot-tempered wife out in the backside of the desert. And I imagine he's wore out now. But he's got chains of love. After he meets the pillar of fire, he is chained to the will of God. And I can imagine the Spirit just starts tugging on his chain as he's going down to Egypt. But Brother Branham said as he walked down those dusty roads, he said there were 10,000s of angels escorting him down to Egypt, a one-man army to take over. I believe that we're God's children. And I believe angels encamp about them that fear the Lord. And I believe that we're being escorted through this dark Laodicean age. I believe that God's presence is with this word. He said the pillar of fire, the angel of the Lord, accompanies the message always. And I believe the same angel that was with Brother Branham is with this message. Now, God may not call you to be an Apostle Paul. God may not call you to do something like Brother Branham, but He calls all of us to be His prisoners. To work in the capacity that He has called us to. No Bible, no prophet in the Bible ever moved by his own will. Every prophet was, the Bible said they wrote the Scriptures as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Did you know Jesus, the sinless Son of God, could not even do His own will? We cannot do our own will. But we're seeking the will of the Father. I think of Peter, as I was saying earlier, 4,000 years of Jewish history and the pride that was wrapped up in the Jews. And you can see some of it in John chapter 4 when they were talking to the Samaritan, we don't have no dealings. They were a separated people. But you can imagine now, as Peter was up on top of a rooftop and he was fasting, and he was tired and kind of wore out, and all of a sudden he breaks into a vision and he sees a blanket come down with four corners and the beast, unclean beasts and so forth. And a voice says, rise and eat. He said, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. He said, what God has cleansed, don't call common. And you know the story. All of a sudden, God was dealing with Cornelius on the other end. Cornelius was a Gentile. And Jews were not allowed in the Gentiles' places. But yet the Spirit of the Lord comes to Cornelius and said, you send for Peter. And then God works on both ends. And God works on Peter's end and said, you go with these men. What is the family going to say about this? What are Peter or James and Andrew and John, and what are they going to say about this? Now look, God is turning a corner. He don't explain it. He don't need to explain it. God is going to turn the course of the earth. You love the Lord. So Peter's a prisoner, and he obeys. And I can imagine as they opened the door, Cornelius got all of his family around and set them down. And he said, I met an angel, and he told me, you've got something to tell us. And I imagine Peter feeling uncomfortable, why don't you sit down? No thanks. I'll just stand right here. And I can imagine how uncomfortable he must have felt. Little did he know what God was doing. And they said, well, you got something to tell us. And I imagine as he opened his mouth, something started to happen on the inside of Peter. You know, I believe that children of God are led by the Spirit of God. And as he begins to speak, I imagine his words were like a hammer coming from eternity somewhere, inspired from God. And while he yet spake, the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon that group of Gentiles. And he felt that was the same anointing that he felt at Pentecost. Speaking in tongues and the power of eternal life falling upon Gentile people because he was willing to be a prisoner and to be led beyond his own, contrary to his own thinking. You say, that was a major dispensational change, Brother Craig. We are at the greatest dispensational change the world has ever seen. You love the Lord. What we need is submitted lives. Submitted lives to God. The world was turned upside down by fishermen that came under his control. And Brother Branham said this. He said, God is trying to get the church under his control. He said, could you compare a Christian today with the Christians of long ago? How those disciples walked in the power of the Spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost, just a prisoner. He said, I preached on it the other night, a prisoner to the Word and the will of God. He said, he couldn't even move until God moved him. Wouldn't you like to see a church rise like that? It's going to. It's going back. It's got to come. And it's on the road now. That ought to make you shout. Remember Jesus just after the resurrection, he appeared to Peter. And he said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, thou knowest, Lord. He said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Thou knowest, Lord, feed my lambs. He says this three times. And Peter, he tells Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you're old, you'll stretch forth your hands and another will gird thee and carry you where you would not. And the Bible said this was signifying what death he should die. See, he was saying, Peter, when you were young, you made your own decisions. You just went anywhere you wanted. But when you're older, after the Holy Spirit fills you, you'll be bound and go where you wouldn't go. And I know if you read commentaries, many people will say, that's when he was crucified upside down. And that's true. But it wasn't the people that were binding him. He was bound by the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham says it. He was bound by the Holy Spirit. And Brother Branham tells a story. He said he had an opportunity to escape. And he was running and hiding. And he said he looked and saw the Lord Jesus walking towards the place that was trying to catch him. And he said, Lord, where are you going? He said, I'm going to be crucified again. And he said, he followed. And when they found him, they said, we're going to crucify you. He said, I'm not worthy. Crucify me upside down. And he left a testimony. Who in their right mind would go to a crucifixion? See, but he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. How many said, Lord, I want to be that? Don't be afraid. God don't lead, but He gives us the grace to endure where He leads us. Can I go just a few more minutes? The Holy Spirit can lead you and direct you. And Brother Branham said, that's what I've had to do all my life, and I'm so happy. I had to wait every day, every hour, just on what to do. I have no abilities of my own, no education. I just depend on Him. Hour by hour, I wait on Him for Him to tell me what to do. Just sit still. He's big enough to tell you. Just keep on speaking terms with Him. He'll tell you what to do. He said, when you get there, it's best to carry out our commission. Ain't that wonderful? Another place, he said, now we also try to make a habit to pray of a night before we go to bed. And since I was first converted, I get up in the morning and say, Lord, it's too dark, it's too misty for me to walk. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just asking you to take my hand and guide me through the day. Another place, he said, we don't take time enough to hear the voice of God. We should wait on the Lord. See, we do all the talking. We don't give Him a chance to talk back to us. That if we would pray until our soul comes into the presence of God and relax and hear His voice. How many said, Lord, help me? And you know, it's just one of the issues of the day that we are so busy. We've got washing machines and we've got microwaves. We've got all kinds of things to make our lives quicker and more convenient. But what happened is the time that was saved now gets packed with more. So we have social media where we're contacting 10 different people at the same time. And it's just more busy because we just made more time to pack it in, and it causes neurotic. And Brother Branham said, neurotic is to cause you to be under pressure to make a decision that you shouldn't make. To try to go on without God. And he's been good at it. To pressure people to make an off-the-cuff decision and get you in trouble. Do you love the Lord? One place Brother Branham said, now, he said, Brother Borders, give me itinerary invitations. Honestly, it was a book or two. So thick, he said, that's come since last Christmas, invitations. It's too much for the human mind to solve out. I didn't take any of them. I'm just going to take one meeting and wait to see where the Lord leads me next. And when He tells me, I go. I love the way Brother Branham was so different than Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. He wanted to be led by God in everything that he did. And he said, now, this is where I'm getting to. I'm getting to my point here. He said he waited for the word of the Lord. He was pressed of the Spirit to do only God's bidding. He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Friends, if we could only become prisoners, I would like to make this statement that God always has to take a man that will serve Him truly to be His prisoner. A man has to surrender every ambition he's got, everything he is, everything, his life, his soul, his body, his will, his ambitions, everything else, to be a complete prisoner of Jesus Christ. You may have to walk contrary to your better judgment. He said, but God is looking for prisoners. He's always done it. A man to be a prisoner to Christ against anything. Therefore, you cannot be connected with anything but Christ. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your husband. Only connected with Christ, and then God can use you. Love the Lord. And he said, the Holy Spirit must have preeminence. It must have first place. We must put Him first in everything. Above mother, father, brother, sister, if we want to be used of God. And he said, He's looking for a man to get under His control. That's what God is looking for. And he said, He's looking for one man. And he said, the hour is coming when the world will shake under the impact of the church of the living God that's moving forward in great power. How many believe that? And he said, God can only achieve it as we surrender. And the church is God's instrument to liberate men. This is where I'm bringing us right now. He says this in a prisoner. We're at the end time. And to my opinion, God will do, and what He must do in the last day, is find a tool for the harvest. He's got to find a tool to thrash his floor. Any farmer knows when he goes to his harvest, he has a tool to do it with. Certainly, he's got a sharp sickle, something, some instrument to thrash out the grain, and the harvest is ripe. He said, "Oh God, take us in your hand and make us bondservants of your love." He said, "Lord, let me be your prisoner. If my brothers turn me down, my friends turn me down, let me be a prisoner." And then he says, "I want to yield myself to be a thrashing instrument of the last days." He said, "And may it be fruitful and bring forth fruit, great tools for the last day. Men, women, boys, girls, to surrender to the complete will of God and become prisoners." Moses served his day. Jeremiah served his day. Isaiah served his day. Paul served his day. Brother Branham served his day. But he said, when he preached at the end of the service, he said, "What I believe God must do is find tools for the end time harvest." Do you realize the world has been evangelized with the message since Brother Branham went off the scene? You know, the hour is late, and there's coming an hour when no man can work. Brother Branham said that's when the council of church is clamped down. He said it in a prayer. God needs, and the harvest is ripe. God needs tools. We're not just sitting waiting for the coming of the Lord. God is waiting for us to act upon His Word. And God is looking for tools. And you think, "But I'm insignificant." So did Moses think that. So did Jeremiah. He said, "I'm a child. How do I speak?" Solomon felt the same way. Most of God's people felt unworthy. But if you are a believer, God can use you in His hand to affect your family members, to affect the local, to inspire others, your local congregation. He can use you in ministry. He can use you in music. He can use you. He uses grandmothers. He uses grandfathers to impact lives. How many say, "Lord, I want you to pick me up in your hand. I want to be a thrashing instrument. I ain't got to be a big preacher. I ain't got to be a William Branham. But I can be what you want me to be." And I'm trying to bring us to a close. I want to read this to you. It's astounding. Brother Branham said this: "Now God has changed His order. You mark my word, there is great men on the road to this world. Great powers on the road to this world." 1960, "Hear ye Him. The Holy Spirit is searching to find men. He can come, take out to a certain place, speak to that person, anoint them, give them something special, great powers, gifts to work His will and do His will." Why are you reading this? Because Brother Branham did his part, but we have a part. I believe there's a church on the road tonight, a power of the living God, where men will speak the word and it'll flash like lightning. But a real, true, genuine, anointed Holy Ghost called out church. Listen to this one. This is 1964. Who do you say this is? He said, "Give me a church so completely anointed with God till their every action and move is, thus saith the Lord, walk in the Shekinah glory, and I'll show you a Messiah, an anointed one of God standing upon the earth." 1954, he said, "God's taking you now and revealing Himself through the church, the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus, resurrected out of churchianity, resurrected out of cold formal churches, resurrected out of fanaticism. God's bringing forth a bunch of bones and putting skin on it in the power of the Holy Ghost that'll bring the gospel in the last days with signs and wonders to the end of the world. They'll teach the Bible. They'll stand by it. They'll live by it. They'll not compromise to the right or to the left. They'll stand right on the Word and move on. And God will be with them daily, confirming the Word with signs and wonders following." No, we're not looking for an eighth messenger. We've already have the messenger we're looking for, and that's Christ. But in Christ, we can run through a troop and leap over a wall. There must be a rapture. There must be the days of Ananias and Sapphira where sin cannot enter into the church. God is returning for a people that are without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. You say, Brother Craig, we're just waiting on the coming of the Lord. They probably thought that when Brother Branham died. But look what has been done as this message has been carried over the hearts of Levites around the world. Just for the young people. When I was 28 years old, I was ordained. And my testimony is a long story, but I was ordained at 28 years old. And I thought then, I said, why am I being ordained? I'll probably preach one sermon and the Lord will come. I'm 43 years old, and I've preached around and around the world. I want to say this, we redeem the time. Only God knows what the future holds. But Brother Branham said, you live every day. Like he may not come for 100 years, you live every day to the fullest. And he said, if we knew he was coming here tonight, we should be right at this pulpit preaching the gospel. See, this is the divine wisdom of God, because in human beings think we got it figured out. 77. No mission work's going on. I knew of a man who built a church in 1977, and he received a lot of guff about it. It's 1977. What are you thinking about? And here we are. No man knows the day or hour. And you know, you could actually be the privileged one that God chose to bring the last seed in. Brother Branham said he'd be a black man in Africa. I don't know. Neither do you. Brother Branham just said it. You could be the one that brings that to pass. How many say, Lord, I want to be a thrashing instrument. I want to be a prisoner. I've been wishy-washy. I've worried about popular opinion. I've worried about pressure and what people think of my family. Lord, would you take that out of me so I can be used and follow your will? I want to think about you, and I want to think about your heart and what you want. How many would say, Lord, that's me? That's my hands up, because that's my prayer. I want to be used, more yielded, more surrendered than ever. I want to be used for God. I mean, if I never done nothing again, I want to be my life to be an encouragement to someone else to walk with God. Do you know you mean something? These seats, everyone, we're human by nature. I believe you were sitting in the same spot this morning, Brother Ivy. I mean, we find our place. You were sitting in the same spot. And we're by nature. We just find our seat and we're comfortable there. Now, you're in a different place. But that's our nature. And so, you know, we get into the normal routine, but you think, nobody notices I'm here. The pastor will know when you're not there. And the people will know, because you have a place in this body that is important to God and the body of believers. Don't ever believe the devil's lie that you're insignificant. You are so important in the mind of God that He chose you for this age. And He chose you to be an overcomer in this age, to overcome the devil, Satan's Eden, all of the filth of Hollywood, all the rock and roll, all of the fashions and all the filth of the earth. He called you to be an overcomer. And you're sitting there thinking, you know, who am I? What am I? And God is using you as a witness to condemn the earth. God bless you, young people. God bless you sitting there listening to every word. God sees it. May God bless you 100-fold. This message, the Word of God, has power in it. It has life in it. And let me tell you, eat this word, listen to the messages, study the messages. Don't let it become common. Say, Lord, give me revelation, life-giving, prevailing, continuous revelation. I like that. Brother Branham said that in the church ages. Life-giving, continuous revelation. You love the Lord. Let us stand to our feet. Pressing on and on and on. Pressing forward to the mark of the high calling in Christ. Do you love the Lord? Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time together with this body of believers. I feel Your presence here tonight. We're thankful, Lord, that You're so faithful. As we read this little verse, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, it just seems we could preach weeks on it. And Lord, we're wanting to follow Your will, especially in this hour. We don't want to waste a minute that we're living in. Would You help us, Lord, to be more sincere? Help us to pray, Lord. Help us to wait on You. Help us, Lord, not to get so caught up with the busyness of life that we can't wait for Your unction and direction. God, help us to put You first in all things. I ask, Lord, that You would just anoint our hearts tonight. Fathers, Lord, that they would just make sure that this message, this word, has preeminence in the homes. Lord, that in our daily lives, before we make a rash decision, that we get with our wives and pray about it. Or these young people, as they're praying about their future. I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would anoint each one here with a spirit of prayer. Help us to slow down and be still. Father, I pray for these young people. I pray for each and every one here, Lord. They've been so welcoming to Your servant. I pray that You bless them. Pray that You bless Brother Barry and his wife, Lord, as they travel back home. May this church be a mighty lighthouse. No compromises, standing on the Word of God, shining bright. Raise up men of God to hold up the hands of the pastor, the man of God. I pray for these young people. May You begin to inspire gifts in their lives. May we all have vision, Lord. May we all be soul winners. May we all take the time to witness and remember the Great Commission and the responsibility of it. Use us, Lord. Make us prisoners. We bless Your holy name. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for this message. We thank You for a faithful man of God that stood firm and followed Your leading. Help us now to do our part. We thank You, Father. Help us to be dedicated. Help us to be faithful, steadfast. We commit this congregation this evening to You. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. If I could get help with that song, what they're singing. Needs prayer. We don't want to be in a hurry to go too quick. If anyone needs prayer tonight, I'd be happy to pray for you.
Wonderful. You know, he made that statement, and we're just going to have to sing that song because that's exactly the way I feel. I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. When you think about that, the power that you have that he's given us, it is phenomenal. Let's keep that same key there, Brother Billy. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's my rock and my shield. He gives power to all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, now I'm free from condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's my rock and my shield. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I can run through the truth and the over the wall. Hallelujah. Oh, sing it one more time. Oh, I can run through the truth and the over the wall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's my rock and my shield. He gives power to all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, now I'm free from condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I can run through and through and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my. You just think what wonderful revelation we have. You know, David, he killed that lion, and he killed that bear. He didn't look at the circumstances that was facing him when he went to see Goliath. He said, "You come to me with a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Just think what we have. We've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than John, if he would come and just dismiss us in a word of prayer. Just remember our brother as he's traveling back to Ohio. We want to keep him in prayer. God give him safe travel and mercies. Also remember our pastor and Sister Becky in prayers. They'll be making the return trip home. And remember to pray for each other. I say it all the time. You mash your finger, the whole body knows about it. We're all part of the body. When one's hurting, we're all hurting. So remember to pray for each other. Amen. God bless you, saints.
Thank you, Brother Keith. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord that came through Brother Craig? Just give him a big hand for being here and worshiping with us. Amen. Pray you'll have a safe trip back. We'll be praying for you as you go along the road. Thank you for being here and bringing the word to us. You know, Tuesday is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church on All Souls Eve. I tell you what, we were just reading about Luther this morning, and right after he did that, he had to go into hiding for about a year because of threat of death from the Catholic Church. They put a knight's uniform on him and took him to a castle and hid him in there. He let his beard and his hair grow out. This used to be in style, you know. Brother, I'm not going to recognize him when I see a full head of hair on this guy. He let his hair grow out and grew a beard. He wrote to a friend, he said, you wouldn't recognize me. I'm going under the name of Junker George. That was his name. He said, but I tell you what, this is my Patmos. He said, I'm living in the liberty of the Lord. And so no matter where we are, we can experience that liberty. Even if we're hiding, letting our hair grow out, going by the name of Junker George like Martin Luther. I tell you what, we should experience Christian liberty far greater than we do right now. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the brother that's come to worship with us and to bring us the word of the Lord today. I pray that you'll just give him just a double reward, Lord Jesus. Just fill him with your spirit. Continue to bring him along, Lord Jesus. He's been preaching the word since he was 28 years old, Lord Jesus. And every year I know it gets richer and fuller and deeper and greater and wider. Lord God, I pray that on his way home he'll just be filled with the assurance, Lord God, that we were touched, Lord Jesus, that the word that he brought to us is going to go throughout the week, through our jobs, through our lives, with our families. Lord, that we would just rest in you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that we would just drop all the ties that bind us, Lord God, and experience freedom in Christ. Lord God, I pray that each of us, as we go to our respective homes, Lord God, that you would just be with us, give us peace, give us traveling mercy. Lord God, again for the nurse that's in a wheelchair, Lord Jesus, a special request was asked. We pray for her. Lord God, all the requests that were asked. Bless this congregation, and most of all, Lord Jesus, Brother Barry, Lord God, and his wife that are coming back from taking your word abroad, that you would just be with them. Thank you for a brother that would not only work so hard for his local congregation, but to extend the service of Christ and the love of Jesus to those around the world. I pray you'll go with us and be with us in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Remember service Wednesday night back here. Let's sing this song as you go. It's good to see each and every one of you here tonight. It's always good to see you all. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. What a promise. Because he lives, oh, it's gone.
God bless you, saints.